So I'm reading from Mark chapter 1, verses 14 to 20. If anyone needs a Bible, there's some coming around. Mark 1, 14 to 20. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him.
Let's pray for David. Lord God, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we pray, Lord, we wouldn't just discover kind of more information about you today, but Lord, we would encounter you in your word. Lord, that you would open our eyes to see more of who you are. We ask in the name of Jesus for your anointing to be upon David. Give us ears to hear. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Tim. And if you're one of the young people, do head out. They've just gone to their groups. And can I just say, I'm so pleased you're here. If you're in the building or you're watching online, I want you to know that this is one of those messages that I would be so excited about sharing with just one of you, let alone all of you. And if we can really take to heart something here that we were thinking about, like in the apple and the seed we were hearing earlier, if we could really see the potential in any one of our lives, I think it would blow us away. But we've got to remember, it all depends what happens to the seed. This series is realizing the potential of our lives, that it all depends what happens with the seed. You see, our lives, all of our lives, are filled with choices. Decisions about what we'll do with our time. I'm so pleased that again you've decided to connect here today. You know, decisions about who we listen to, who we choose to trust, what voices and examples we will follow. And really, this series is about, what are you and I going to do with our one and only life? Who can help you best make the most of your life? You see, in Mark 1, Jesus kind of explodes onto the scene of the book and also onto Galilee, the place where he kind of grew up. And he comes declaring this amazing message. He's proclaiming, we read in verse 14, the good news of God. That sounds great, doesn't it? The good news of God, he says, the time has come. The kingdom of God is near. These things sound amazing. And as he goes on, there are things that Jesus says which also sound a bit odd. A bit kind of like, well, what do I make of that? And we're going to be exploring some of that this morning. But at the heart of this message, at the heart of our reading, is these three words that Jesus said to a few people by the shores of Galilee. He said to them, we read it here in verse 17, "Come, follow me." Come, follow me. It's an invitation that completely transformed the lives of those disciples, those few people that he spoke to, Simon and Andrew and James and John in our reading. But it's an invitation that also goes out and is spreading all across the world and that we are reflecting on today. And you might be thinking, well, why would I follow Jesus? I mean, We live in a world where the kind of concept of following is something that kind of we're used to. Every social media account has followers. And actually, we're quite used to the idea of you kind of take a little bit from this person and this person. Oh, I like that recipe that they're posting on Instagram. Oh, I like that thing that they're suggesting I should buy. Oh, maybe I should have that. And you know what? When lots of the people we follow and listen to all say the same thing, we're like, well, we've got to do that. We must have one of those. I noticed on BBC, on social, it had this headline, would you camp outside a supermarket for a water tumble that's gone viral on TikTok? And I thought, well, I wouldn't, but I'd like to understand those who do. And so I read this, and you might be aware of this, but increasingly, there's this viral buzz that everyone in a kind of certain age bracket, particularly in the US, but it's increasingly over here, is after a Stanley Cup. We got one of the pictures right there, a Stanley Cup. And it's crazy. People have been camping overnight outside supermarkets to get a special edition of one of these. And the hashtag Stanley Cup has had, get this, 7.2 billion views worldwide, and is growing in popularity all over the world. The thirst for the craze has even seen people resort to attempts at law-breaking to get a mug. I'm like, why? And this is the thinking that I can kind of get, is that they are seeing everyone else have this mug, and they think, I must have it. And we can laugh, we can think, oh, it's a kid's fad, but guys, most people make their decisions by looking and thinking, well, what is everyone else doing? So everyone else seems to be living for themselves, so I'll just do that too. Everyone else seems to be getting this next thing or that for Christmas, or I must have it too. Everyone else is working harder at their job, so I better as well. Everyone else is going on these kind of things. And so we follow the crowd. And you know, I want us to think through this series, and maybe particularly today as we start it, who or what is influencing your decisions? In your one and only life, who or what is influencing your decisions? And I want to say, I have discovered in my life, and I don't always get this right, but that when I let this Jesus, this one who's kind of exploding onto the scene in Mark 1, this one who says he's got good news of God for me, when I let him influence my decisions, then it is far, far better than anything else. And so this call of Jesus to follow me is why we want in this series to as it were, walk in the footsteps of Jesus. We want to be that disciple that Tim was talking about earlier. A disciple means a learner, a follower, someone who's going to learn from Jesus and follow the example of Jesus. And this whole series is so closely linked to the vision and heart that we have as a church. Our heart as a church is for every generation to be raising the next generation to be free. And the free there is in capital letters because it's a kind of an acronym. It stands for something. It's not just the kind of freedom that so many people come to Brighton to find, which actually is no freedom at all, just living for themselves. This is the freedom that is about, that is found in Jesus, that comes from following Jesus, from reaching out, being an extended family, and doing everything in love. And those are like our core values that we want every generation to be kind of raised in. And it starts with following Jesus. And you might be thinking, well, David, I feel so ordinary. Can I really be one of those seeds that God uses in an amazing way? And I love in Mark 1:16, it says this, as Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. They were ordinary people doing an ordinary job. They were fishermen, so that's why they were casting their nets. And Jesus sees you and I. He sees your ordinary life, my ordinary life, our Monday mornings, our Thursday nights. He sees our eating and our sleeping, and he sees not just our ordinariness, but he sees the potential of what your life and my life can be. But we're going to see throughout this message this morning that, again, it's back to the decisions we make and actually the start of our relationship with Jesus. The start of this discipleship journey begins with a decision, if you like, a response that Simon and Andrew and James and John make to the invitation of Jesus. So what is a life of a disciple? Well, a life of a disciple, that's our kind of title for our service, for our talk today. A life of a disciple is first and foremost a life with God. It's about following Jesus. In Mark 1:17, it says this, "Come, follow me," Jesus said. And they chose to do it. Why? Why would people follow Jesus? Well, because of who he is, first and foremost. They had lived in an area where Jesus had been. They had heard of him. They might have even encountered him before. And they'd seen that this was no ordinary person. You know, we were thinking over Christmas about how the amazing thing at the Christmas story is that this child, this babe in a manger in Bethlehem, Jesus Christ, is Emmanuel, is God come to earth. He is like no one else you've ever met. He was born like no one else. He lived a perfect life like no one else. He speaks and teaches such wisdom like no one else. He treats people with love, responds to injustice with courage, stoops down to help the vulnerable with humility, shows such amazing compassion. When I read about Jesus in John's gospel or any of the gospels, I think that is someone I want to follow. And then when I see him die for me, and I read that he didn't just stay dead, but he rose again like no one else has done, that he conquered death, I think, wow, this is someone like no one else. And he is not just inviting Simon and Andrew and James and John to follow him. He's alive. And he is speaking to us this morning and saying, Ray, you know, Yvette, Tom, Graham, Muhammad, will you follow me? Luke, Sue, Andy, will you follow me? He sees us and he's inviting us to walk with him. God Almighty is inviting us to follow him. And when we make that decision and say yes, it enables us to live a life with God. Not just a little bit on a Sunday morning when we come to church, but in your Monday, in your Tuesday, to live a life with God, walking with him through your days. I mean, how amazing is that? I mean, could there be anything more wonderful to do than to walk with God through our life? And we're starting with this life with God aspect of what it means to be a follower of Jesus, because that shapes and affects everything else in our lives. In fact, the amazing thing about Jesus is not just that he is unique like no one else, God come to earth, but it's also that he became a human. There's a big discussion going on in our world at the moment about what does it mean to be human? What does it mean to be human? How do you really live a kind of out of our kind of ordinary humanness? And the amazing thing is Jesus comes and shows us, like no one else, what it is to live in the image of God, to walk with our Creator in our eating, in our sleeping, in our relating. He just shows us something wonderful. He shows us how to flourish in the kind of storms and difficulties of life. You know, Jesus shows us how to live when you're hungry and tired and frustrated and lonely and tempted. He's been through all of that. Falsely accused, he's been there. He can show us how to flourish as we follow him. And he can show us how to live a fruitful life. You know, some lives leave a kind of trail of destruction behind them. What trail are you leaving in your life? Jesus' life and the lives of people like Simon and Andrew leave this kind of trail of blessing, of fruitfulness. I want to leave a life like that. You know, it says in Acts 10, verse 38, Jesus went about doing good. That was the kind of Peter's summary in his message about Jesus. He kind of went about doing good. I love that. Hey, would we follow him and do that? Just go about doing good. I think one of the challenges, though, is we see Jesus doing that and we think, well, I'm so aware that I don't always do that. And actually, that was how Simon responded. In Luke's gospel, we have another account of this call of Simon. And in that, in Luke 5, when Simon Peter saw this amazing kind of miracle that Jesus did, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. You know, and maybe like, let's just hold that up there for a moment, Ben. Maybe like, Simon, you're just so aware, even this morning, Lord, I know we're talking about following you, but I don't feel worthy. Lord, it's not just that I've got a splinter. I feel like I've got so much wrong in my life that you would need to come and sort out. But you know, that picture of pennies was so helpful, because whether it's a splinter or whether it's loads and loads and loads of different problems and aches, the response is still the same. Jesus says, look, don't be afraid. He's drawing towards us. He's drawing us towards himself. Don't be afraid. I see your ordinariness. I see even your sinfulness, but I can do something to transform that, to make your life into something that's going to bless others. And actually, the message that Jesus went about proclaiming, the kingdom of God is near, so repent and believe. That is the way in to the Christian life, and it's the way on as a follower of Jesus. It's a way of saying, Jesus, I trust that your way is going to be better than my way. That you can help remove these kind of splinters, these things in my life that are wrong. That you can come and heal where I'm hurting. Lord Jesus, I want to follow you. I was reading recently in the Lectio 365 kind of devotional app, this little phrase, Jill Weber, who's been doing this week's devotion, she sort of writes this. She says, I have learned to say to God, the answer is yes. Now, what is the question? I love that. It's that kind of like, Jesus, I'm surrendering to you. Advanced decision. We just sung it. We were praying it. The answer is yes, Jesus. So what was it you were asking me to do again? Because I'm in. Isn't that cool? What a great adventure of faith to live like that. But again, why would she say that? Why can we say that? Well, it's because of who Jesus is. He's this one with all authority, but who is God, the loving God, come to us. He's never going to ask you or I to do something that's not for our good. He knows what is best for us, and we can trust him. And so as they respond, as they follow him, they discover they're caught up in this kind of bigger purpose than they thought. And that's the next thing I want us to see more briefly, that this decision for them to follow Jesus reveals their purpose, their life purpose, and it reveals ours. We read in verse 17 that he said this, come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. This life with purpose is a kind of reaching out, a being sent out life. But let's be honest, being sent out to fish for people sounds a bit weird, doesn't it? Some of us may know an older translation where it says, you know, and I will make you fishers of men, which, to be honest, even though you might be familiar with it, still is weird. What is that all about? Well, let's start with the fact that it's an activity. It's something that he's calling them to do, to be part of. And it's similar to what they were doing. They were fishermen. And he's saying, look, I've got something for you. It's a bit like what you've been doing, but it's different. It's not to do with fish. But it is to do with some kind of intentionality. It is to do with doing something. And actually, what I'm inviting you to do is join me in my business, in my purpose, Jesus is saying, rather than just to keep doing your thing. And what is Jesus' purpose and business? Well, in Luke 19, he says to all the people around in verse 10, he says that he came to seek and save the lost. Jesus is in the business not of kind of catching things to kind of make them dead so that he could enjoy them. But the whole fisherman thing was about actually bringing life and food to a community. And Jesus is saying, look, I've got this in spades. I want to take people's lives who are lost, who are feeling broken, even spiritually dead. And I want to help them come alive and be restored and made whole. And hey, you're going to come and help me. Every one of you can come and help me in this amazing work of reaching out. And you might again think, I don't know how to do that. I was chatting to my dad this week, and he was saying when he was a young adult, not long after being a student, he was wrestling with how God might be able to use him. And he just thought, I'm not sure I'm that good with people, God. He was quite an introvert, is my dad. And God really spoke to him through this verse, because it starts with, I will make you fishers of men. Or I will send you out. The focus is on us following Jesus and then trust that he's going to help you do the reaching out. If you think, well, I don't know what to say or what to do, well, just keep your eyes on him. Just say, Jesus, the answer is yes. What do you want me to do? And he will guide you. He will guide you and help you reach out to those around you. I've found that time and again as I say, Jesus, your kingdom come. You're the king. There are two kingdoms, your kingdom and every other kingdom that is often based not on your light and goodness, but on selfishness. And Jesus, I want to be part of building your kingdom, doing things your way. You know, there's so many ways as a church we're trying to reach out, whether like through Alpha that Rob was talking about and Tim was mentioning. And please, if you've not done it, if you're just exploring faith, whether you would want to follow Jesus, please come. I'll be there. Love to help you on that journey. But I also want to say, you might have invited someone many times before and they've maybe not been interested, but this could be the time. Why not again speak to them or pray, God, who could you help me? I know many of us have been using those little prayer cards. Let's be praying. Who could we speak to with Holiday Club? You know, the kids, they're not the ones who are ultimately going to sign up and necessarily pass on the invitation. Some of them do get talking about it at school. Encourage them in that. But parents, you can say to other parents, and even if you're not a parent, but you know families, you can say, hey, how about it? It will be fun. It's free childcare on at the end of the half-term week. I mean, that is good. And they will discover something that could really help them in their life. Why not come along? Why not pray and look for those opportunities to reach out? Let's be led of Jesus. And lastly, it's not just that this decision to follow Jesus helps enable this life with God, or this decision to follow Jesus reveals our purpose for life to reach out and join him in his mission. But this decision to follow Jesus, if you look in this passage, you see that actually Jesus isn't just calling Simon. He's calling Simon and Andrew, and he's not just calling them. He's calling James and John, and then he goes on and adds others to this group, because the decision to follow Jesus is a decision to say, I want to actually build a life with others. And part of our vision as a church is that we're an extended family. Most of us don't have extended family, kind of the physical extended family nearby. You know, we're here, and we know that it takes a village to raise a child. We know that actually God's called us not to be solitary in our life with him, but to be in community together. You know, James and John and Simon and Andrew, they had to learn what it meant to follow Jesus, because actually so many communities and families are pretty dysfunctional. In fact, a very famous book, you know, Anna Karenina, kind of starts by saying kind of all families are kind of broken in their different ways. And, you know, the reality is that most of us have been hurt by other people at some point in our lives. One bit that caught my eye in the Alpha course, I kind of just suddenly, well, I don't think I've heard that before last time I did it, was it was on healing. And it said in this bit in the video, it said, you know, just as most of us have been, many of our hurts come from others, actually, most of our healing comes from others as well, from what they say and do. We need to discover new healing. We need to be caring for one another. Jesus wants to teach you and I what it is to forgive, what it is to love, what it is to serve, what it is to bear with one another. Jesus wants to build this new kingdom, this kingdom of God, this kind of new family, new community, where he is saying, look, this is the way you do life and relationships. This is the way that you can flourish. I want to build a new kingdom, a new family that others around the world will see and say, oh, wow, look, they must be his disciples, because look at how they love one another. That is what he wants to do in us. And as we seek to grow as a disciple, as we have that advantage, yes, Lord, what's the question? the question is often going to be, well, I want you to go and forgive them or love them or talk to them or bear with them, serve them. Jesus is calling us to a life with others, and there's all kinds of ways we want to help you this term in that. You know, Rob mentioned the community group that he was part of. This would be a great time to join a community. Our communities are going to be using a resource that goes alongside this that you can access from anywhere. It's online now, and we've developed it to go alongside this to help people grow as disciples of Jesus. But it might be that you thinking, well, I'm not necessarily in a community, but you may be able to have another place where you can encourage others in their walk with God. In fact, let me put it like this. Who do you meet with who could help you grow as a disciple or who you are helping grow? Who do you meet with like that? Who do you kind of, you know what Tim and Rob were talking about, that opening up the Bible? Who do you open up the Bible with? And if you don't have someone to do that with, then I would love you to do one of these three things. Either to join a community or to be part of a kind of getting a couple of friends together. You might want to call it a three. If you get two others, call it a four if you've got three of you. But just a few other people, maybe even one other person. And just say, how about we kind of open God's word, do this resource that is there in your weekly news. You can see it there. You know, or thirdly and lastly, you might actually think this is a time as a family, maybe your parents and you've got kids at primary school or even secondary school age, and you think we're going to really press in as a family to open God's word better than we've been doing. We're going to use this time to kind of, as it were, in that context, try and grow as a disciple. And in all these things, we want to help you through this term. So you probably can't do all of those things, but please would you do at least one? Please would none of us kind of try and do this journey of discipleship on our own? And if you've been loosely connected with a community and you haven't really been for ages, hey, welcome back. This is a great time to reconnect. I lead a community. When people haven't been for ages, I never, when someone comes, think, oh, can't believe they're back. Where have you been? That's terrible. I'm like, so good to see you. This is a great time. Let's lean in and grow together. I want to end with this. The last bit in our values is to do everything in love. You know, when you follow Jesus, you quickly realize that love is how he operates. Your love for the Father and his life with God, love for his disciples, which patiently serves them, even wash their feet, love for the lost and broken, those who were filled with shame for their sin. His love permeated all those three aspects that we've been looking at. And really, this whole series is going to be about how we grow in love. Love for God, love for one another, and love for those who don't yet know Christ. But love, as we see in Jesus, is always costly. It was Jesus' love for us that took him to the cross. You see, Jesus made a decision that enables us to make the decision to follow him. Jesus made the decision first to give up his life with God, to follow the purpose that his Father sent him to do here on earth, to build a new community, a family. He made that decision so that you and I could then respond to his initiative with repentance and faith and say, Jesus, I'm turning from my thing, my own purpose, my own way of doing life, and I want to walk with you in your footsteps. I want to follow you. I want to take this seed of my life. And when you say in like Romans in John 12, and I've lost the seed because it can so often be that small, but you're not going to be able to see it if I pick it up anyway. So imagine the seed. Your life that kind of hardly you think, does anyone notice? Is even bothered what I'm doing? God is. And Jesus said, the hour has come. The Son of Man to be glorified. He was just about to head to the cross. And he says, very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. There was going to be a kind of giving up, a cost, a laying down that had to happen. And we see that in Mark chapter 1 in verse 18 and in verse 20. It says, at once they left everything and they followed him. There was a cost. There was a willingness to say, Jesus, I'm following you, so I'm willing to leave stuff. And this term, if we really are to grow as followers of Jesus, there's going to have to be a decision to say yes to Jesus, even when that means we have to sometimes leave stuff. But brothers and sisters, as I think about this Jesus, there is no one I would rather follow. And I want to afresh say this term, I want to grow as one of his disciples, as one of his followers, and in helping others do that. I want to give you an opportunity now as we just come to worship to, as it were, make an intentional step. Let's follow him together. Let's go on this adventure with Jesus. Maybe the adventure that you need to kind of intentionally take is to explore, to say, yeah, I'll do Alpha. Maybe it's an adventure to say, yeah, I'm going to grow as a disciple. I'm going to find a place I can connect. Or maybe you've been trying to follow Jesus, but you've not been trying to help others, and you need to say, yeah, okay, Jesus, I get that I'm going to need to help others in this journey. Let's follow Jesus together. And if you're up for that, then I'm just going to pray as we bow our heads that the Holy Spirit would just come and help us know that next step. And if you're willing to do that, then I'm going to ask you if you will stand with me in just a moment. But let's first just be still. We come to one who loves us so much. Sees our ordinariness. Holy Spirit, would you come and help us see you, Jesus, more clearly and want to follow you. Decide to follow you and be intentional about helping others follow you too. Lord, we repent and believe. We repent from thinking our way is the better way, and we believe your way is the better way. We believe you are the King. And Lord, we want to either explore more about that, or we want to decide, yeah, we want to follow you in that. And Lord, we want to do that together. And so if you're up for that journey of following Jesus, that adventure, would you stand with me right now where you are as a kind of sign of your intention? Don't feel you have to, but if you want to, if that's what you want to do. Lord Jesus, you see many of us standing together, and we want to grow as your disciples, as those who learn from you and follow you. Help us in that today and in this term ahead. Lord, help us, we pray. Lord, we offer you our lives. We come and draw near to you. Thank you, Jesus, that you are so worth following. In your mighty name we pray. Amen.